In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, there is something that really strikes me with this reading about the healing of the two blind men. Besides the rudiments of the Jesus prayer, which we should all be praying, and which is shown in its infancy, sort of, in this reading with "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The Lord said something that is quite important. It is the reason why things happen and why things don't happen in our lives. He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." That was in response to the blind men who were crying out after him again and again and again, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." They were showing they knew who he was, because only the Messiah would be the Son of David. That was a messianic name. And by calling him Jesus, Savior, they were acknowledging who he was, the incarnate God-man who would save them from their sins. And so they cried over and over, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus commended them for their faith. Now remember, when you read the gospel, read it according to you. What does it have to tell you today? What does this gospel have to say to you? Perhaps it is something as simple as that you don't pray enough. They prayed over and over, "Jesus, thou Son of David," without getting any response. And then the Lord responded. But after a period of time, it could have been a very long time. So perhaps that's as simple as that. Perhaps you look at your life and you realize, "I don't pray very much. A couple minutes a day maybe. Miss days sometimes. Go whole hours and portions of the day, if not the entire day, without even thinking about God." Perhaps that is what this gospel tells you. Perhaps it is what the gospel tells me. This idea, the Lord said, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." That must mean that we must bring something to God in order for him to respond to us. We must have faith. Now that's a mysterious word. Oh, it's defined in the scriptures. But do we really understand it? The apostles at one point said, "Lord, increase our faith." And all he said to them was, "If your faith is as the mustard seed," or "If you can say, if you have faith, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done." Now that's not a very clear answer about what faith is. So what is faith? How do we increase it? How do we have it in our lives so that when we ask the Lord for things that matter to us, he says, "According to your faith, let it be unto you." It's a really important question. And one that, to be honest with you, that I as a sinner and a man with weak faith don't have absolutely clear answers to. Oh, some of the things I know because the church teaches them and Christian experience has taught me them. But as far as having the great faith of the saints, that's something which is very difficult for me to understand. But let's at least begin to have faith. First of all, these men, using them as an example now, because the Lord commended their faith. By the way, he commended other people's faith too. The centurion, the woman with an infirmity. We must see that there are other things. The Syrophoenician woman, when he insulted her, basically called her a dog, but she had faith. So all these things we have to take together. There is a portion of a teaching of how to have faith in this gospel. It's not complete. The whole gospel is complete. but not a portion of it. So these men had knowledge of their infirmity. Knowledge, of course they were blind, but they knew that they had no ability to heal their blindness. This was something bigger and stronger than themselves, and the only way that they could be healed of their blindness was through the mercy of the God-man, the Son of David, Jesus. Saint Seraphim of Sarov, for 1,000 days and nights, kneeled on a rock and said, "Oh Lord, enlighten my darkness." He was aware of darkness in him. The one who we always see wearing a white cassock, whom we know prayed at one point with Motovilov above the ground and didn't feel cold. That Seraphim that we know as holy felt himself to be filled of darkness. This is one aspect of learning to have faith, knowing our own weakness, knowing who we really are, not the person that we present to others, or perhaps the person that other people think we are, but the person we really are, that we know that we have weakness, we have darkness, we have sin in us, but also at the same time, the Lord dwells in us, so there must be godliness in us too. And there must be holiness, because the Holy Spirit makes his abode in us. And sanctification, because God is with us. So that combination of things makes us know that there's nothing in ourselves that can make us better, only God. And so we would cry out to God, literally and also in the way we live. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's the beginning of faith, to recognize there's something wrong with you. As a priest, I encounter many times when I see people that they don't really know what's wrong with them. They don't really think a whole lot's wrong. They don't know their sins. They don't really contemplate their sins. They think they're just sort of an average person, pretty good, not so bad, don't do any terrible things. And that kind of attitude will not bring you to have good faith. We must know that there's something deeply needful of God in us. And we must feel that every day. And by the way, when you feel your own need, then you also feel others' need, other needs of people, and you're not so likely to judge them, which perhaps judging might be our greatest sin and our most common sin. But you don't judge people when you feel your own infirmity. So this is how we increase our faith. This is the beginning of increasing our faith, the knowledge of ourselves. It's a very difficult thing to know well. Just last night, as I was praying a prayer that I prayed 10,000 times probably more, just one of the petitions in the litany, asking God for mercy. And it just struck me, I have no idea, really, what that really entails. What I'm really asking God for. How much is really wrong with me? Now, the saints, they didn't just have that feeling. They knew what was wrong with them. I just know there's stuff wrong with me that I don't know about. They knew that stuff. And so should we. Because as our self-knowledge increases, so does our faith. Now, that's contrary to the way the world thinks. Because the world thinks that you have to have all this self-confidence and this self-esteem and not think bad things about yourself. But the Christian way is to acknowledge that without God we can do nothing. Therefore, we are nothing without God. And so if we feel ourselves as nothing, we become everything. That's really clear from the scriptures, if you read them carefully. So that is the first thing. Know that there's something wrong with you. Cultivate it. If you don't know there's something wrong with you, or if you kind of feel that there's a certain something, but you don't know what it is, you can't really get to it, it's kind of fuzzy. It's the way it is with proudful people. There's a lot of things in my life like that. I know there's something incomplete in me, but I don't completely see all its definition. If you're like that, then cry out to God, asking Him to enlighten you. He will. He will always answer that prayer. That's basically what the Jesus Prayer is. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The acknowledgement that we are sinners and we need His mercy. Period. That's it. So if you pray that prayer with attention, often, God will answer it. And as you cry out for mercy, you will also be filled with a desire and the ability to flagrantly, fanatically give mercy to others. And then your faith truly increases. Because the Christian life begins with knowledge of self and our need. And then it extends out to the entire world. Everyone. Every one of us should care about everyone else. And so a Christian heart feels for everyone. Whether good or bad, we feel. And we bring to God our deepest desires and inclinations. May God help us to have this kind of faith. It's not something that you can read in a book about. It's something where you can only obtain it if there is desire and effort. Now, if you're living just kind of a, you know, getting up, having coffee, going to work, maybe you say a prayer sometimes, maybe you go to church sometimes, maybe you fast, maybe sometimes you don't. You know, just kind of a life that's just kind of going up and down with the waves. You're not going to have a lot of faith. Oh, you might say you have faith. You know, believe in God, believe in the Trinity, all those sorts of things. But the faith will not be active and strong. The only faith that is active and strong is in that person who's aware of their need and cries out to God continually. And then, as God answers his cry, responds to God with the myriads of people that are put in our lives. Whether they are people we know personally or just people that we hear about in the news. This is how you have faith. By knowing what's wrong with you. Now there are things you can do, of course. There's practical things. Reading the Gospels is very important. As long as you read them with this attention about what needs to be fixed in you. If you just read them because you say, okay, today I'll read the first chapter of Mark, and tomorrow the next, and tomorrow the next one after that. It's sort of like as a something you check off on your calendar. That's not going to help you. But if you read it with attention, with desire, even if it is two lines of Mark, God will touch you. He'll make you feel His might and your littleness. And that combination will make you great. All of the saints, without exception, felt their littleness before God, and God made them great because of it. So that's where we gain faith. Just by living our life, searching for God, begging for His mercy, and then reacting as He teaches us. So read the Gospels. Read the Psalms. They're fantastic for learning about the human condition. Those are probably the two best things in Scripture, but all of Scripture, if you read it with attention, will help you. Do you pray? Do you have a regular prayer rule? If you don't, how are you going to learn to have faith? Do you commune frequently? Do you confess frequently? If you don't, how can you learn to have faith? Do you fast? Perhaps you're a poor faster. Do you at least attempt to fast? If you're not, then how can you have faith? All of those other things are necessary too. Not because they are requirements that get checked off as if they're some sort of checkbox on a form, but because if you feel your infirmity, you will naturally do these things. May God help us to have this kind of faith, so that when we pray to God, He would say to us, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." Amen.